much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey.
Morning.
How are you?
Fine.
No, I know, but how are you?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah! 106.7 K Rock, KROQ. And you're listening to Rodney on the Rock Show. And I was the first DJ to ever play that on Los Angeles radio. And I can prove it.
Fire beer mug, fire beer mug, fire beer mug this year. Fire beer mug.
So, what part of the Bible tells you to say all this kind of stuff here in the chat? I'd love to suck play and suck play with like and lick nipples and licking. Say you. Where is that in the Bible? Explain
it. There's a human part.
Is that the Old Testament or the New Testament?
And now,
look at them.
One awesome.
Which one?
Take your pick.
Our feature presentation.
Wait, is that in the Bible for reals?
I think Chris Hansen was just rubbing it in to a guy who was about to be arrested and sent away for a long time. He was just getting one final dig in as they took him away. God, I miss that show so much.
Before he said, all right, you can leave through the front door. And then they just swarm him.
Don't you miss that show?
I do. I love that show.
And it was effective. And it got predators off the street. So they don't do it anymore because that one guy got killed or something? Is that what
one
happened?
One guy killed himself, right?
Oh, killed himself. That's what it was, yeah.
But if you're hitting on underage kids, you know what? Mm-hmm. Take yourself out. Fine with me.
Well, I don't know that those people are it's impossible for them to be rehabilitated and be good.
I'm willing to take that risk.
Really? They do it one time, you feel their entire life now is not worth living.
Yeah. If they're abusing underage kids, yes. Yeah, I think that takes a certain problem with the person, and that problem probably will never get put back together. And I know that the victims will never.
That's a really we'll good
never
point.
Get over that.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, we don't want to get off on a tangent here. But as far as we know, we don't know that these people abused any kids. All we know is that they were trying to get a hookup on the internet. That's all we know.
Well, if I show up and you're already naked waiting for me on your bed, then it might be hard to be just a friend.
Why would you put it that way? Speaking of people that Kevin would like to see in jail or worse, as you know, Kevin hates all old people, thinks they should not be allowed to drive, certainly, and not have sex.
That is a lie, sir. I think they should have to take driving tests.
Okay.
But they shouldn't have sex, right?
Well, correct.
Okay. Kevin's definition of old is anyone who is 2 years older than he is. Whatever age he is, anyone 2 years older is not allowed to be on the road. Here's a story out of Florida. This man happened to be from Pennsylvania. He's visiting Bonita Springs, where apparently parking at the beach is kind of tight. He says he was driving around for 45 minutes looking for a parking space. And then he saw a guy who was getting ready to leave. So he decided to wait for this guy. Now, there's no details in this story about what took the driver who was vacating a spot so long to pull out.
Why did it take him so long?
Doesn't say. Oh. This guy, 72-year-old Carmen Torakawiahoas, decided he was just going to wait. He was going to sit there like old people do with his blinker on and wait for that guy to put out of the space no matter how long it took.
Oh, I've been behind that guy.
Yes, we all have. Look, anyone who's tried to get a space at a grocery store at 5 p.m. knows exactly what you're talking about. You think somebody's leaving and you have to make that decision. Am I going to wait for this person or am I going to just keep driving and find another spot, right? So anyway, this is 1 o'clock in the afternoon, by the way. So he decides he's going to wait. It doesn't say how long he waited, but it does say that his van was blocking the traffic and the traffic started to back up out of the parking lot onto the road that gets to the beach.
That's not good.
No, not good at all. So a deputy in the area walks up to the man's vehicle and says, hey, move. You're creating a traffic backup. The guy said, no. He said, I've been driving around for all this time. That guy's getting ready to leave. I'm going to wait for his spot. The deputy says, did you miss the fact that I am a deputy in full uniform and that I am ordering you to move because you are obstructing traffic? The guy says, I'm not going to move. He closed his window, rolled his window back up. So the vehicle finally pulls out. The guy pulls into the parking space. The deputy walks up to the van, tells him he's under arrest. The man says, I'm not under arrest. Don't you have anything better to do?
Wow.
Then refuses to get out of the car, grabbing onto the door frame of the van. Police called for backup, by the way, and a second officer actually ended up making the arrest.
Oh, I thought that would work, holding onto the van. I thought they'd just give up and go away.
The sheriff's officer said that the driver began yelling and screaming while trying to pull away from the deputy and then asked, "What are you going to do, beat up a 72-year-old man?" So he was handcuffed, taken to jail, charged with resisting an officer without violence, failure to obey a police or firefighter, and a violation of county park rules. But I guess you just can't sit there as long as you want if you're blocking traffic. At some point, you just have to cut your losses and move.
I think in that story, the moment where he had to cut his losses and move is when the cop told him to cut his losses and move.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
At that point, you don't really have much of a choice. I mean,
I get his frustration. 45 minutes he drove around looking for a parking space on a crowded beach. I get why he thought, oh my God, there's a space. Finally, I'm going to get one. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. But what a burn for him, though, to go past that and then have somebody else who just pulled in get that space, too. You can see how he'd be burned.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What kind of sick would do that?
Do what? I haven't even told you what we're doing. Christian Larson is on the program today. He is the director of the movie about Swedish House Mafia and their final tour.
Oh, yeah.
That was a dysfunctional group at best.
Mm-hmm.
At best.
It's fascinating, though.
It's called Leave the World Behind. We're going to talk to him. We have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Yep.
Apparently there's an e-cigarette ban in Los Angeles that he is all up in arms about.
He's confounded by that.
Yeah.
I am too.
Nobody knew you were a sex worker part-time. Maybe you have a job, and then on the side you do it. Maybe you're in, as is the case today, there's a college girl who is helping put herself through college.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that? Come on.
Not a darn thing.
I don't know what this Taylor Swift thing is. Some guy called the Grammys and was upset about Taylor Swift.
Yes. You know how we talk about the type of person who will write a strongly worded letter or make a phone call about something that they don't like?
Right.
This guy was outraged. He called the Grammys, the people who run the Grammys. He called them outraged that Taylor Swift did not win Album of the Year.
How long would it take you to even find the number for the Grammys?
That's a good question.
I mean, who would you call?
Well, when you hear how upset he is, you'll hear why it was so important for him to make this phone call, because he, in no uncertain terms, is going to accept that Daft Punk won Album of the Year over his Taylor Swift.
And at the end of the phone call, did he go, hey,
hey? You have to wait and find out, but you're going to love it. It's great.
And we also have Ryan Sheckler on the program talking about the Street League skateboarding, which is coming back.
Cool.
So we got that coming up this morning. And as well, 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., we're giving you 3-day passes for Coachella. So 9 a.m. this morning, you can look forward to that. That's going to be a fantastic festival. And that's like 5 weeks away, 4 or 5 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait for that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Such talented guys, that Imagine Dragons. Man,
yes,
I love those guys. Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Thursday morning. Ralph Garman taking one day off. He will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, we're filling in on the Showbiz Beat. And it looks like, to get started, we may owe Rush Limbaugh a little bit of an apology.
What?
No.
You know, we were doing that story yesterday about his cockamamie, or so it seemed, theory that leftist liberal Hollywood voted for 12 Years a Slave because it had the magic word slave in it. It didn't matter whether the movie was good or bad. Well, the Los Angeles Times has reported that at least two Oscar voters have privately admitted that they did not see 12 Years a Slave and voted for it for Best Picture.
That's, A, that's weird, but B, I imagine that happens all the time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
In every category.
And, yep.
And two people,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Not really enough to swing it, I wouldn't think.
Well, but, I mean, this is just two people that are on the record. We don't know if there were many, many more. But one person, one anonymous voter in an interview with the Hollywood Reporter said she didn't watch 12 Years a Slave because she didn't want more terrible stuff to keep in my head. Another said, I have never liked movies that have severe violence, so she didn't watch the movie. But apparently the buzz was so strong on it, and everybody was talking about how great it was, that they went ahead and chose that as their best picture.
Don't you think that the people who are voting for best picture should all have watched all of those movies?
Yes.
Or not vote.
Just take yourself out of the vote.
Yes, there should be some sort of a system where they have to watch it and it has to get registered that the movie was played or something, I think. Or they're not allowed to vote.
Yeah.
But anyway, so sorry, Rush. Looks like you were right.
Oh, that hurts. Katy Perry is speaking out about the kiss with Miley Cyrus that has been talked about for so much. I guess they were on stage together in late February.
Okay.
And Katy Perry walked over and smacked her, just put one on her.
Yeah.
And everybody's talking.
No.
What?
Other way around. Katy Perry was at a Miley Cyrus concert, and Miley Cyrus was singing her hit "Adore You," and
right.
she leaned down into the audience and put a kiss on Katy Perry.
So then Katy went into more detail. I just see this is what I don't understand then, Bean, because this is well, it doesn't matter. She said, "You know, you just plant a kiss on another girl like girls do." Which, by the way, is, I believe, God's plan. I think that's how he wanted things to happen.
Yeah.
But then, according to Katy Perry, Miley started to, how do I put this? Probe.
Use her tongue.
Probe with the tongue.
Oh. Yeah.
And Katy pulled back, saying, I'm not positive where that's been.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that tongue has been everywhere.
Yeah, so you don't want that. You don't want that.
So, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, though, when you think about it. I mean, it's one thing for a girl to come up and give another girl a little peck on the lips. It's another thing when they start, you know, deep drilling, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's only better if that's what you're saying.
So, Lisa, if you're at lunch and it goes that extra step, that's when you say, hey, maybe let's pull back, right?
You know, I remember in Fresno, we were in Fresno once, right. and a girl wanted to kiss me and right. ran up, and oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, she found tonsils.
All right.
Okay. I was like, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore.
And it was a wee bit intimate for somebody you knew nothing
yes.
about, right?
Yes, it was.
How about when you used to make out with Miss Double December every year, when we transferred the crown between Miss Double December?
Well, that might have been just some light probing. That was fine.
Okay,
they were
all right.
sweet.
Yeah.
This was like an attack.
And they were vetted a little bit,
yeah.
at least.
I think girls kissing might be the best thing in the world.
Well, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Here's a bizarre story involving Michael Jackson. This was up on TMZ.com this morning. They say that a man named Brandon Howard is going to come forward today with DNA evidence that proves that Michael Jackson is his father.
Now, is this one of the people that we heard before that was claiming it, or is this
a
new one?
No, this person came out of the blue. This is a new
wow.
person. Joe Jackson represented this young man whose name is Brandon Howard. Joe Jackson, Michael's father, represented Brandon Howard's mom, a soul singer named Mickey Howard, back in the 1980s. And apparently Mickey and Michael Jackson met and were friendly. Back in 1982, Brandon was born soon after. He's now a singer, by the way, also. Goes by the name of B. Howard. Sources told TMZ that he somehow acquired DNA from an old orthodontic device worn by Michael. It is unclear how he got a hold of it, but the test results, he ran DNA on it. The test results showed a match, and he is going to come forward publicly with that today. Howard Weitzman, who is Michael Jackson's attorney, said, "We've never heard of him before, and any deadline of anyone claiming to be Michael's child has long since passed. So who knows if there'll be even anything in it for him or not." But it does just... Look, Michael Jackson wasn't always a freak. Maybe there was a time where he hoed out. I don't remember ever hearing him. I mean, like, have you ever heard a woman come forward and say that I had a one-nighter with Michael Jackson?
Nope.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he was a virgin. I really wouldn't. He's so weird and strange and strangely non-sexual and just it's hard
just,
to buy.
He even when he was at his peak and his most popular, he's out there on the road in the 70s and 80s, it doesn't seem like he was picking up chicks and taking it back to the hotel, right?
Or guys.
Anyone.
Yeah. Exactly. Let's see here. Jared Leto has already broken his Academy Award.
Really?
That happened.
He dropped it? Or
Best
he did
supporting
it on
actor?
Purpose?
No, he didn't do it on purpose. He dropped it or hit it against a stairwell or something. And it's got a little ding in it. So good work to Jared Leto. And by the way, again, easily the best speech of the night at the Academy Awards was Jared Leto.
I agree.
It was an amazing
speech. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wow, a lot of talent born on this day, including former NBA great Shaquille O'Neal, who turns 42 years old today. David Gilmour from Pink Floyd is 68. Academy Award-winning director Rob Reiner is 67 years old today. Actor Tom Arnold, 55. D.L. Hughley is 50. Connie Britton from Nashville is 47. Maura Kelly is 46. I told you, there's a lot of people today.
Yeah, no kidding.
Chris Thompson, drummer for Vampire Weekend, turns 30 today. Rapper Bubba Sparks is 37. And rapper-producer Tyler, the Creator, is only 23 years old. And that's the showbiz beat here on your Los Angeles Galaxy open up against Salt Lake this weekend. We've got tickets you can win later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we'll hook you up with tickets for the K-Rock screening of the new Jason Bateman film called Bad Words. We got more Bear Mountain passes and Coachella tickets at 9 o'clock. We're giving away the store here today, so keep listening.
You know, we have our AFRO line, 323-520-AFRO, and you can leave a message 24 hours a day. And there are certain people who we always have an ongoing debate as to whether they're actually crazy.
Yes.
Or are they just acting crazy?
Crazy like
right.
a
just,
fox.
Yeah. Trying to be funny just to get on the air. Some
right.
people maybe.
But for both of the people that we're about to talk about, a crazy lady, do you have an example of her being?
Yeah, she doesn't call us anymore, but for a couple of years, we'd hear from her quite frequently. She always had very interesting things to say, like...
Well, if you think I'm shifting my loyalties from Charles Manson to Paul McCartney, I'm not.
And we wouldn't know what to make of that, but she would just call us all the time, and she would say things like...
That's what my car insurance company and the police have been waiting to hear.
Just left us scratching our heads.
Right, like no context. We don't know what she's talking about. So she called us for, I don't know, like 3 or 4 months before Omar finally came in and said, hey, you guys might want to listen to this. He just figured it was nonsense and you know, wouldn't put him in. And so then she called all last year. Well, this year, it's Angry Guy. She doesn't call anymore, but Angry Guy has been calling like crazy.
Yeah, and he really has it in for you.
He has a red hot focus for me every single time he says Kevin. But then, like, you don't know what on earth he's talking about. What's he referencing?
He
and
never
so we've been having the exact same conversation, which is this guy crazy or smart? Does he know what he's doing or does he not know what he's doing?
No.
In this particular one, it's not just me. He calls all of us.
Oh, Kevin Bean, Ralph, Lisa May, Psycho Mike, Omar Lightning, guess what? Playing on the phone line. Talking that's not comedy, morons.
So what's he mad at?
I don't know.
Okay.
All of us for playing on the phone line. So I don't know what that means, but he called back for all of us.
Kevin Bean, Ralph, Lisa May, Psycho Mike, Omar Lightning. I don't understand. How is disrespecting your boss comedy, you morons?
Okay, I really don't know what he's talking
right?
about. No.
And this guy, just like the crazy woman, called for a while before we started putting him on. So that to us means he's probably a little crazy because he wasn't getting the feedback right away. We weren't playing him right away.
Yeah.
So then he called back.
Kevin Bean, Ralph, Omar, I just think it's so funny that you got a hold of my siblings and my mom playing those bitch-ass phone games, dude. I don't understand the point of it, but it sure is funny. I just can't stop laughing.
So now it sounds like he thinks we called his mom.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what the phone games are.
Sure and we didn't.
Sure as funny, can't stop laughing. Sounds threatening to me.
Yeah, where are we on the he knows what he's doing or he crazy?
I hope he crazy, because if he knows what he's doing, watch your back.
That's true. Now he's done with the whole group. Back to me.
Hello, Kevin Ryder, you idiot. You sure have some big man. All the advertising that comes in at K-Rock, all the commercials I hear, and I'm really supposed to believe that you make a measly minimum wage? Moron, dude. You really are, man.
What is that based on?
By the way, it wasn't enough for him to say, you're really effed up. He takes a beat, and then he goes, you really are. Okay, now he's done with me, and he calls in on Omar.
Hello, okay. Omar, guess what? You're fraud, just like your girlfriend Psycho Mike, the bitch.
No idea why he would have it in for Omar. Omar hasn't done anything.
How about Dr. Drew? Maybe he feels left out.
Hello, Dr. Drew. Tell your friend Psycho Mike he's a fraud.
Okay.
Alright. Pass that right along. Somebody who doesn't work on our show anymore. Jimmy Kimmel.
Hello, Jimmy Kimmel. Your talk show, you piece of
See, now at least that makes sense. F your talk show. He doesn't
right.
like it. All right.
Right.
At least we can tell what he's talking about. And then the best suggestion of all time.
Can we hook up Angry Raiders guy with crazy Afro call lady once she gets out?
Once she gets out.
Hey, I think they'd be perfect together. Got a lot of shows still to come here on the Kevin and Bean program, including Christian Larsson, the director of the Swedish House Mafia movie, which is very entertaining, I thought. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, looking forward to that. If you like that band and that music and those guys, you'll love the documentary. Also, Ryan Schuckler is going to be on to talk about skateboarding. That's all coming up. And Dr. Drew, because it's Thursday.
You won't necessarily love all of those guys, but it's interesting.
Taylor Swift, you guys.
Nope.
She's perhaps the greatest entertainer alive today.
Oh,
I think we all can agree on that.
Stop it.
But even I didn't go so far as this caller that I'm about to play audio for you from to call the Grammys after the telecast a couple of weeks ago and register my very serious complaints about Taylor not winning the Album of the Year Grammy for which she was nominated. This guy is more than just a little bit upset about the way he thinks the Grammys have been treating his girl Taylor.
Yes, I would like to know, when are you going to stop treating Taylor Swift like... Who is Def Punk, and what did their album do to be called the best album?
Okay, now,
I'd like to just suggest they did everything.
This guy, I get the impression, has never heard of Daft Punk before.
Right.
So he's watching the Grammys, and he's, you know, all excited, sitting on his couch, thinking about his girl Taylor, and then all of a sudden somebody, a couple of robots get up there and take her award away. He's outraged.
Now, what are we guessing his age is?
I mean, you're going to find out what his age is.
Oh, okay. Because he sounds like a kid.
He actually sounds really old to me.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to find out. That's still to come.
Taylor's album sold over 1 million in 1 week. You people have been f***ing on her now for over 2 years. It better stop, or I guarantee you will start trending to stop even bother watching the Grammys.
So the threat is, Taylor Swift doesn't win more Grammys, I'm going to stop watching the Grammys.
Well, that'll change their
That should make it work.
And by the way, Taylor is, 24 years old now. I think she's won a half a dozen or so Grammys, including an Album of the Year Grammy that she's already won. So it's not like the Grammys have shut her out or refused to acknowledge her existence. She was on the show this year performing. She just didn't win any Grammys this year. Not good enough for our man.
Because it's a bunch of crap and you're a bunch of old, stuffy-shoed creeps who don't want to see Taylor Swift win Grammys this fast.
I also think it's hilarious, by the way, that Daft Punk won the Album of the Year instead of Taylor Swift. So the Grammy people are old and stuffed shirts?
Yeah.
Stuffed shoes, I think he said.
Stuffed shoes, yes.
What is that?
It just seems a little upside down, though, that he would be complaining that they're too old because they gave it to Daft Punk, which is a pretty progressive choice for the Grammys,
yeah,
I think
so,
right?
Too.
Get a life, because you lost one here. And I will go on Facebook and Twitter and every social network there is to push that everybody stops watching the Grammys.
That is a very serious threat.
That should do it.
Until everything changes in there, because you people are too old, too disgusting, and have no class at all. When you put down a beautiful person like Taylor Swift, it's the disgrace. You want to call me back, my phone number's 207-7. And I will keep calling because this is a total disgrace the way she's being treated.
Hey, Beep. Did you beep that? Please tell me you beeped that.
I did. Why?
Because I want
to call
her.
Call.
Or him. We need
like
to call woman, this really. Person.
Yeah, we have the number.
Oh, 207. Awesome.
207 is a Maine, by the way, so...
Oh, I'm so happy. I thought it came to you beeped and we didn't have the number.
No, I beeped
it all. We get to call him!
Really? You want to talk
to
this guy?
Are you kidding? With all my heart.
He's not done yet.
Am I a Swiftie? Now I am. I'm 55 years old, going to be 56, and I never seen such a disgraceful...
Okay, Kevin, what do you think? He's 55 years old.
Oh, this is just, it went right from being crazy to creepy.
Yeah.
So if he was 25, you think, oh, let's play with him. Now he's 55 and you're worried that it's mental illness.
Oh, I still want to call him. Don't get me wrong.
By the way, in 55 years, if you've never seen anything as disgraceful as Taylor Swift not winning a Grammy, then you've had a pretty charmed life, sir. Right?
And what did you say she was? 24?
She's 24,
so
right.
So he's 55 or whatever.
Yes.
So
yes.
She didn't even come on the scene until he was in his late 40s.
Yes.
What the hell?
He latched right on.
He didn't love her his whole life. You know, she wasn't even born.
Right. This is not somebody crapping on the Beatles.
Right.
Okay? He's not done. We're about to learn more about our mystery caller.
Show like the one that went on the other night. That girl pours her heart out for music and for people and cares about people. And all you do is... on her. If you don't like the word, then stop spitting it out and eating it, because that's all you're doing.
Ew.
Is that the S word bean?
Yes.
Oh. Gross. How does this guy know that that's what they're... They may be doing it, but how does he know?
By the way, it's a crazy step to call and leave a voicemail message to complain about somebody not winning a Grammy. But this guy is just sitting on his couch in his underwear in Portland, Maine, or wherever he is, and he's just rambling. Like, how long is this call going to go on?
Not long
he's
enough.
Got a lot to say.
You have become a joke, the Grammys. I wouldn't blame Taylor if she never won again. The only reason you won her there is because people will come for her. Millions of people. Over 40 million. Guess what? When they stop watching the Grammys, see how good you are then. I'll be calling back. You want to call me? You call me. Any time of the day or night.
All right.
I'm a disabled veteran.
He's a disabled veteran, you guys.
All right, we can't.
Why did he have to throw that in? Now it's not funny. Come on.
I'm a disabled veteran.
Oh.
I fought in Vietnam. I fought for this country. I bled for this country.
Wait, now, wait.
Yes.
55.
Right.
Fought in Vietnam.
I questioned that myself.
Does that add up?
Oh, right.
I questioned that myself. Weren't we out of Vietnam like 1975, something like that?
I don't know.
No, no.
Was he like
was
seven
going to
or
Vietnam
something?
At that age.
He went when he was seven.
he might have. I don't know. I mean, again, is this crazy or who knows how much of what this guy is saying is true? I just don't know.
Next time, edit out the veteran part so we don't feel bad.
Not to see it turn into the Grammys you think it are. Who's this country artist? Is Vanessa Musgrave. Who is she?
All right. Now, this is Casey Musgrave.
I know who she is.
Now, this is another up-and-coming artist who performed on the Grammys. She won a couple of Grammys. She performed on the show. He's just outraged. Now he's not even talking about Taylor being on the show. He's talking about the Grammys giving the spotlight to somebody else.
But doesn't she do music like Taylor?
You would think that he would like Casey Musgraves, but it's not what he tuned in to see. He wanted all 3 hours to be Taylor.
Where'd she come from? Mm-hmm. Let's get real. I mean, you know, you people are crapping on Taylor Swift. For what reason? You're going to lose millions of viewers, and I will push it. I will push it till I die.
Wow.
He wasn't happy.
We have to call him.
We might have to call him.
Because I don't think he's a vet. Not of Vietnam.
He said Vietnam.
Is
he
confused about where he fought?
He did say that.
It's
I don't
possible.
Know. He's confused about a lot of things, Lisa.
I hope he's not a veteran, though, but we do need to call him.
I think so.
I'm not sure when, but we're gonna need to get a hold of that guy.
Okay.
He's my new hero.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
Ralph Garman is off today. We're taking a look at the Showbiz Beat in his absence. You know, it's amazing that Linkin Park continues to be one of the biggest bands in the world after they had that ugly incident with the rapist in Linkin Park. Remember?
That was not the band.
I remember it pretty well, by the way. They were able to kind of get past that and all is forgiven. And yesterday we talked about how they have a big Carnivores tour that they're going on the road with 30 Seconds to Mars and AFI, including a date this fall at the Hollywood Bowl. So that was Linkin Park news yesterday morning. And then after we got off the air yesterday, out of nowhere, they released a brand new song. They released it to Shazam, of all places. How's that for a weird way to debut a new song?
Strange. All right.
It is a brand new music from Linkin Park called Guilty All the Same, an exclusive Radio.com interview with Mike Shinoda. He talked about how the reason they went with this single first is it's a good look into the DNA of the record that they're putting out this summer, which makes it sound like this new Linkin Park music is heavier than we are used to hearing from them for the past few years. So let's hear a little bit of the new Linkin Park song, Guilty All the Same, and then we'll hear more of what Mike has to say about it.
Guilty all the same, too sick to be ashamed, you want to point your finger.
Wow, right. Sounds good.
Yeah,
I think so too.
Are they trying to kill the lead singer, Chester? Are they trying to take him down?
Speed it up.
They're asking for everything he's got, that's
love
for
it.
Sure. We didn't hear this part of the song, but Rakim, the famous rapper Rakim, is also featured on this first track called Guilty All the Same. Here's a little bit of Mike talking about why this song came to be.
The reason we went with this song first is because we feel like it's a good look into the guts of the record, the DNA of this record that we're putting out this summer. I'll be honest, like to step back a bit, I remember a few months ago I was making some demos and writing this stuff, and it sounded like something that you could play on the radio or whatever, and it was like, I listen to a lot of indie music, a lot of what would you call it, like indie pop, I don't know, like... I love Purity Ring, I love Haim, I love Empire Weekend and Churches and, you know, so many more. But I was listening to the demos I was making and I thought like, well, but I don't want to make that kind of music. Like, I love listening to them make that music. What is it that is not out there right now that I'm all about, like that I'm fired up about, that is a void? And it ended up being this new material where, you know, it's louder, it's more visceral. Than probably anything we've done recently, and we're all really proud of it.
I love it.
We don't have a date yet for the album, but they do say this summer. By the way, Chester sitting right next to Mike in this interview doesn't say a word. And I think your theory is right, Kevin. I think he literally has no voice left. I think he's just like, yeah, I agree with whatever Mike says goes.
That's crazy. Lindsay Lohan. Apparently, they're starting to promote the show, mm-hmm. a reality show on the OWN network, which...
I saw the trailer. Looks good.
And apparently Oprah Winfrey had to set her straight on a couple of things. Oprah's a taskmaster.
Yeah.
Sounds like... And you always wonder, like, I don't know, can she turn it around just because there's a TV show?
How do you wrangle Lindsay? Yeah.
And maybe you can for a while, but... They had a preview. She really wants this to win. She was talking about the redhead rehab and swears that this time will be different. And Oprah's like grilling her and making sure that she understands that Oprah's, you know, is sizable neck is on the line. And it just sounds like the weirdest. I don't know. Is it going to be interesting?
I think it's going to be interesting.
Are you interested in watching it?
Yes, I am interested in watching it, and here's why. Because, first of all, I find it interesting in the trailer that they released this week. It's interesting to see inside the fishbowl that is Lindsay Lohan's life. She has a lot of opportunities to make bad decisions.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see the choices that she makes. And also just seeing what her life is like from the inside. I mean,
that's
you know,
true.
We talk about the paparazzi a lot on this. I mean, imagine if that were a part of every decision you had to make is how you're going to navigate around all of these people standing there with cameras who follow you everywhere 24/7.
Yeah, that would be a disaster for me.
It'd be horrible for any of us. None of us would enjoy that. But I mean, Oprah, you know, Oprah was warned by lots of people, not that anyone can tell Oprah what to do, but they were like, look, she's a lost cause. Don't trust her. She's going to disappoint you. You're not going to be happy with what happens. And Oprah said, I believe in her and I'm going to trust her. And she had indications very early on that trust was misplaced and that Lindsay was not rehabbed. But that's what's going to be. I mean, by all accounts, we've heard Lindsay's been doing great. So it looks like a happy ending on this story, but I think it's going to be an interesting show at least to check out. Let me do one more story. This is sort of Oscar-related because we had that actor Barkhad Abdi in studio with us. He's I'm the Captain Now from Captain Phillips. He's that guy. Very charming guy. And a crazy story about how he was not an actor. He was from Somalia and living in Minnesota and just showed up for a casting call. I heard about it on TV that they were looking for Somali actors for this Captain Phillips movie. Well, he got cast. His life was changed. He was nominated for an Academy Award. But it's interesting to see what his life is like. He was paid $65,000 for his work on that movie 2 years ago. After the movie was finished, he went back to work at the cell phone store in Minnesota because it's not like he had lots of people looking to hire him. This
right.
movie wasn't even out yet. When the movie came out, he left the cell phone store job and basically has been on the road promoting it and then promoting the Oscar campaign up until, you know, all up until this past weekend. But he hasn't been making any money from anything. He borrows the clothes that he wears. The movie company has been putting him up when he's on promotional tours and putting him in hotels and arranging drivers for his official appearances. But beyond that, he doesn't have any money.
Wow.
And he's moving to L.A. now, right?
Yes, he's moving to L.A. But you think you see a guy in a tuxedo sitting next to Brad Pitt on the
right.
Academy Awards and you think, well, that guy's a star. That guy's living the life. He made this money 2 years ago and essentially hasn't been making any money since then. And now he's got to wake up now that the Oscars are over and all the Captain Phillips thing is finished. He's got to wake up and go, what now? right?
Yeah, but no don't kidding. You have residuals? I mean, besides whatever
that
they
and
pay you, there's residuals and
yeah, I would think. I mean,
DVD
I would
release.
I don't know what you know. Obviously, we don't know what the specifics are of his deal. You know, this is his first movie, so I don't know if he gets to buy into that. You know, maybe he's not even in, maybe he wasn't even in the union to do one movie. I don't know. You know, I don't know what kind of back end he's getting on something like this. But it is funny though. You see a guy in a big screen movie and nominated for an Oscar, and you feel like he's made it. You know, he's living in the Hollywood Hills in a big mansion, but literally he's, you know, in hotel rooms that somebody else is paying for in rented clothes.
He can always go back to hijacking boats.
Right?
That seemed to pay.
Well, that's a good idea. I think you should stick with
that. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a Beer Mugs joke.
Today's celebrity birthdays. How about Rob Reiner, one of the all-time great directors? He is 67 years old today. Actor Tom Arnold is 55.
I loved McHale's Navy.
Well, of course you do.
No one
loved
that.
Hughley turns 50 today. Connie Britton from Nashville is 47 years old today. Actress Maura Kelly turns 46. David Gilmour from Pink Floyd is 68. Shaquille O'Neal turns 42. And Tyler, the Creator. Kevin, you were out when we had Tyler, the Creator on our show.
Yes.
You weren't here this week.
I heard it went well.
Oh,
God.
We got to find a clip and play some Tyler, the Creator of his last, and I mean last, appearance on the Kevin Beach Show. Maybe we'll have that for you next hour. That's the Showbiz Beat for you on K-Rock. Monday morning on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Details on April Fool's.
Wow.
It's pretty exciting.
Big drum roll for short announcement.
Yeah. Well, we're starting to get a lot of, you know, people are looking at their calendars. They're going, hey, it's, you know, first week of March. What's up? Where isn't April Foolishness right around the corner? Yes, it is. We have not forgotten. And yes, it is going to be happening. And yes, it is going to be awesome. So Monday morning, we'll have all those details for you right here on the Kevin DeBeat Show on K-Rock. We're very excited, very much looking forward to it. All right, here's a great story that's in the news. It comes out of Duke University. A college freshman there accidentally, depending on who you believe, she either accidentally let it slip that she was doing porn to pay her tuition, or somebody saw her video and came up to her and said, hey, aren't you the hot chick from this video I was just watching? Either way, the word is out. And she is just, it's unbelievable. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, as uptight as people are about sex, but there are a certain number of people who are making her life a living hell on campus because she has admitted that this is the route that she's taking to try to pay her tuition. People still have such a dim view of somebody who goes into legal sex work in 2014 America that it's amazing to me.
She wanted to graduate school debt free.
Right.
Yeah,
so she said,
fabulous.
I need to find something to pay my way along the way. And that's what she found, and we applaud her.
I couldn't afford $60,000 in tuition, she said. My family has undergone significant financial burdens. I saw a way to graduate from my dream school free of debt, doing something that I absolutely love. Because to be clear, my experience in porn has been nothing but supportive, exciting, thrilling, and empowering.
Right.
She further elaborated that the site she's performed for was a rough sex website, but that she had never been coerced or harmed while filming. Everyone has their kinks, and we should not shame anyone for enjoying something that is perfectly legal and is consensual for all parties involved. By the way, before we hear more from this Duke University student who's paying her way through school, we thought it might be interesting to hear from our listeners, the Kevin and Bean listeners, who have done some sort of sex work to pay the bills.
Are doing now, or did.
Or are doing or did.
Right.
Now, are we looking for people who didn't tell anybody? People that they didn't know? Or does that not matter?
I think, boy, I don't know. I think it's a little more interesting if nobody knew. You know, maybe
if you were doing it on the side, and you're doing it at night, and it was a secret.
Like you're a phone sex operator or whatever. I imagine they can route those calls right to your apartment, right, or whatever.
Sure. So that's interesting.
So if you recognize my voice or Bean's voice, give us a call.
Keep it to yourself if you recognize my voice.
Don't give us a call. I mean.
Give us a call if you've done any kind of sex work. Either you've done movies or photographs or phone sex or whatever it is, and kept it on the down low. You kept it as a secret because you didn't want to have what happened to this woman at Duke University happen to you. By the way, this phone segment's open for guys too. Same deal. If you did,
We don't care, but sure.
Give us a call and let us know what your experience is in doing sex work for money to pay, you know, to pay the bills or whatever. 1-800-520-1067. All right, so back to our student. For me, shooting pornography brings me unimaginable joy. Me too, by the way. When I finish a scene, I know that I have done so and completed an honest day's work. It's my artistic outlet, my love, my happiness, my home. Finally, she shot back at critics who claimed she was being degraded. I can honestly say that I have never felt more empowered or happy doing anything else. She also calls on people to examine why they treat female sexuality with such disdain and dismissed online comments that said her history would prevent her from finding work after graduation. She says, I wouldn't want to work for someone who discriminates against sex workers.
Yeah, she's a law student, by the way. She's going to probably figure out what's what.
she certainly seems to have a very realistic and healthy attitude about the choices that she's making, though. And I can understand from her point of view, from her perspective, is, look, this is what's working for me. I'm not being taken advantage of. This is something that I chose, that I want to do. It's legal, and I'm graduating from college debt-free.
Yeah, like we said, $60,000 a year. 60 grand.
I know.
How
yeah.
else are you going to get that kind of money?
I'm a little surprised she was getting so much crap from people in school. You would think that people of her generation would be a lot more open-minded, but I think she might be a little unrealistic about getting a job in a stuffy law firm. Later.
Right.
That could be.
No, that's possible, but she could also start her own practice or whatever else, you know, her own practice.
I know what you're saying.
Someone wrote on a Duke College message board. So we're going to pretend like she was unaware of the social consequences of going to that business. She made a decision. Now she needs to live with the consequences. So maybe some of these other students are suggesting that they're looking out for her. You know, that's why they're coming down on her for her choices. But I mean, it is interesting. There's no question that lots of people do not look at a career in porn as just another job. People are happy to make a judgment about who you choose to have sex with, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah, I mean, according to the story, everything she did was legal. Mm-hmm. It's not like she was doing anything illegal.
And her choice. It's not like she was kidnapped and thrown into the back of the van and forced to make porn at gunpoint or anything like this. She's an adult, mature woman who decided this is what she wanted to do, and everyone else can suck it.
Yeah.
Which might have been one of the movies she was in.
That's the name of her latest flick.
So we want to hear from you if you did any kind of sex work and if you kept it a secret. Tell us about that and tell us why at 1-800-520-1067. Can we squeeze in Tara just real quick? She's on line three. Then we got to take a break and come back with some more.
Hi, Tara. Tara.
Hi. Hey, guys. Yes, Tara. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
So, Tara, you heard us talking about the student at Duke University, and that rang your bell how?
Well, I turned on the radio and I heard you guys talking about if you've done any secret, like, sex jobs.
Right.
If you're a phone sex operator, and I was like, that's me.
That's you.
Okay.
So you did phone sex. Did anyone know?
I did. My fiance was the only one who knew, and he was just, he was pretty cool with it just because we were really, really young, and he said as long as, like, because it's just over the phone, so he didn't really have a problem with it. But after a while, after like 3 months, he was like, oh, okay, I think we need to do
stuff. Well, did your phone ring constantly?
You have to have a house phone to do it because they don't trust it. Back then, they didn't, like, trust that cell phones would, like, stay connected.
Right,
you had
right.
to have a landline. So I would just be shut up in the bedroom talking dirty to all these horrible people.
Wow.
That would get
and they
old.
Tell you, and what's really funny is they tell you who's calling. Like the company that you work with, what company you work with, it says, like, young and dirty. So, like, they tell you what they want when they're calling, like, the
oh, level. I see. So then you can put on your young and dirty. Yeah.
It plays a message, or it says, MILF. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
sure.
It'll
right.
say something like that. And then sometimes it's really, really sad. Some guys just really want to just talk. They don't even want to have phone sex. They just want to talk to you.
Oh,
like,
that's sad.
That is kind of sad.
Like,
now, did you
wait a minute. Hold on a second. That cost, how much did it cost him just to talk?
I actually don't know what they charged them. I just know how much they paid me.
Oh, all right.
That was going to be my next question, is how's the money for you, the girl who's doing the work?
It was pretty decent. It says, like, the more calls you get per day, obviously, the more money that you get. But mm-hmm. I honestly do not remember how much. It was when I was 22, so it was, like, 7 years ago or 6 years ago.
Right.
Or I might have been 20, but it was like pretty. It was like minimum. It was more than minimum wage. But if you,
I hope so.
And you didn't have to drive anywhere.
It was like 12. I think it was like it ended up being like 13, like an hour.
Now, right. one more question, Tara. And by the way, you're a perfect choice to be on the phone because, man, can you talk? But let me.
I'm sorry, guys.
But no, it's
hold
great.
On.
It's
before great. Before you ask your question, we're not being charged for this, are we?
Okay. My question is, did you, like, was it just rote for you? Like, it was just easy just to make that stuff up off the top of your head? Or was it a lot of work to get, you know, some of those conversations going?
It was really, really easy because My fiance says I'm a very good storyteller.
Now, were you reading magazines and watching TV and just barely paying attention while they were on the phone?
I was just literally laying on my bed playing on my phone and just talking.
Oh, that's awesome.
I take care of babies now, so that's a lovely little transition. That's why I don't tell people about it.
Yeah. I would keep that to yourself as well, although you shouldn't have to.
Yeah, I'm a nanny, so.
Yeah.
Tara, I'm going to call you tonight like I do, okay? Thanks for the shout-out.
Okay, thanks so much.
See you later. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your call.
I have never felt more empowered. Duke law student hits out at critics after she's exposed for secret career in porn, which she uses to pay her tuition because she wants to graduate debt-free. That's the topic on the table this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You did sex work for money and kept it a secret. What's that like? At 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Nikki real quick. By the way, Ryan Scheckler talks skateboarding with us on the Kevin and Bean Show in about 10 minutes, so stick around for that. Hi, Nikki. Thanks for calling.
Well, I just have to say I was a cam girl.
A cam girl?
Yeah.
So how does that work? You're on camera so people could see your face, right?
Sometimes, depending on what I was doing.
Oh, okay.
There were also anonymous cams that I was also on.
Anonymous
cams. What does that mean, anonymous cams?
Basically, you could wear a mask. You didn't have to show your face. You didn't have to do anything.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You didn't have to do anything?
Well, I mean...
How long did you do it?
How did you get that job?
I did it for 3 years.
3 years.
How's the money in being a webcam girl?
It's awesome.
Why did you quit, Nikki?
Because I was starting a family and everything.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And my boyfriend at the time didn't want me to do that.
And once you see little kids running through the shot, it does kind of blow the whole image. So when you were doing it, who did you tell about it and who did you keep it a secret from?
I kept it a secret from everybody except the boyfriend who got me into it.
Wow, interesting. So when other people would ask, hey, what are you doing for money? What would you say to them?
I'd say, let's see, what did I say? I don't remember.
Yeah, just something else.
Just something. Just a long time ago.
Yeah.
Did anyone find out?
No.
Oh, wow. That's not great.
Nobody found out in 3 years.
No.
That's crazy.
And did you, last question for you, Nikki, did you ever recognize any of the people who were calling you, you know, who were webcamming with you?
No, because where I was, it was basically chat rooms. I was only on cam.
Oh, you were the only one on cam.
Gotcha.
Okay,
you couldn't see them. I see. Okay, because I like you to be able to see me, too. So. All right, Nikki, thanks for the call. Appreciate that, my dear. Let's go to Damon. He's on line one. Let's get the gentleman's perspective. This Duke University student was trying to pay her tuition. Damon, it sounds like, was trying to pay a mortgage, and he got into sex work. Hello, sir. Welcome to the show.
Hey there. How are you guys?
Good. Hey, we're good.
Kevin is already suspect. I can already tell he's going to be a dick.
How dare you?
What did you do? What was your entry into sex work?
I remember it was years ago. I was probably about 19 years old, and I looked down and couldn't pay a bill. And I'm like, well, I got the package. Let's give this a shot. And I did escorting off and on for about 10 years, and I was... as I got older, I was unemployed for about 10 months, and I actually paid my mortgage with money to spare. I remember making about $10,000 in 1 month.
Wow.
Oh wow. How do you even find how to start that?
Yeah, at 19, when you can't pay your bills, where do you go?
It was actually kind of funny. I actually ran into some guys who wanted to be like the Johns, kind of the pimp almost.
Right.
They had an and they're like, hey, you know, come work for us and give us a cut. And so I did that a couple times, and then I'm like, why am I paying them a portion of what I make? I can just, this was like pager. The first time I did it, I had a pager. That's how old
right.
it was.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Right, right.
Mid-90s. Yeah, and then it evolved, and then now there's entire websites where it's just, that's all they do is you post your availability, they call up, and you, you know, take your client. And I did very well. I've been flown to Paris and London, and I enjoyed it. And it was nobody knew for a while, but then after a while, I mean, even my mom and dad know at this point that I.
Oh,
did it.
Wow, that must have hurt.
And how do they take it?
They were fine. I mean, I went home for Thanksgiving one time and pulled out a wad of cash, and my mom goes, "Is that from having sex?"
And I go, what do you want me to say? It is, but Mom, it's paying my mortgage.
Yeah.
And she goes, okay. And for Christmas, I got a money clip.
That's funny.
Damon, it's great to talk to you again. I mean, for the first time.
It only got awkward when Mom said, how much?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's like. I don't think you need to know those things.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, Damon, we forgot to ask. Were you dating men, women, or both?
I date primarily men, but I have had a couple of invites into the threesomes with a guy and a girl.
Ah. So are you done now with that business? Are you doing something else?
I am. I work a regular corporate job, but it kind of parlayed into I'm getting my master's in social work to be a licensed sex therapist. So
how about that?
Yes, Bean, we can give you his number.
I'm just saying, look, it sounded to me like the calls that we've taken on this topic, it sounds like it worked out for everybody.
I hear you. I agree.
Sounds like a good job. All right, Damon, thanks so much for the call. We're going to have to leave it there for this time. Quick break. Ryan Sheckler comes back. We'll talk skateboarding. It's getting big, believe it or not, when we return right after this on K-Rock.
You know how we always have Dierdick in here talking about the Street League skateboarding and how fun that event sounds?
Yep.
Well, now there's big news. And to break the big news to us, our friend Ryan Sheckler is on the phone talking about Street League skateboarding. Hey, Ryan, welcome back to the Kevin Abine Show, my friend. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How is everybody?
Very good. Thank you.
I feel like you're too big time for us. I feel like you're about to make an announcement that sounds like you spent time in a suit in a conference room with grown-ups.
Yeah, I mean, well, that is part of my life. But, yeah, man, Street League skateboarding, man, is coming to Fox Sports 1. So
yay!
It's... Yeah, dude, it's huge information, it's huge news, and everybody's really psyched. You know, they signed a 3-year deal with Fox Sports 1, and we're gonna be live on that. So
that's unbelievable. So every event that you guys have, we can watch on Fox Sports 1.
Yes, sir.
That is great.
Yeah, it's gonna be really cool. You know, it's a nice change, and I think everybody's very happy. And you know, for me, it's really cool because Fox Sports 1, you know, shows Supercross and UFC. And
UFC, right.
So, you know, I'm already a big fan of the network. So it's going to be really cool to have skateboarding on there as well.
How much skateboarding has been on TV outside of things like the X Games?
You know, not too much, actually. Not too much that's on, like, on you know, national television. Just
right.
Turn on the TV and watch skateboarding. So, to have it on Fox Sports 1 is going to, it's really just going to be a lot more accessible and very easy for kids to follow what's going on in the contest season.
And you may not know this yet, but how many events do you have this year?
This year we have 4. Well, that's hoping that I make it to the finals. But yeah, there's 3 stops, and then the final is the top 10 qualifiers make it to New Jersey. So, gotta make it to New Jersey.
Okay.
That's a bad goal, by the way. It's a good goal. It's a good goal for skateboarding. It's a bad goal for a place to go.
It's a little interesting of a venue, but we always have a lot of fun out there. Everyone stays in New York and then drive into New Jersey. So it's a pretty fun weekend.
The dates and locations for the Street League skateboarding are going to be announced soon. They have not yet been, but obviously we'll be hearing about it, and you'll see it at KROQ.com, and you'll be seeing it on Fox Sports 1. What's the grand prize for Street League skateboarding this year? Do you know, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, per event, it's $100,000, and then for the championship, it's $200,000, and they give you the championship ring and the championship watch and the big old trophy, so...
And Dierdick has to be your assistant for a year, is what I heard.
Man, that would be insane. No, I don't think he put that in the contract.
Oh, all right.
That would be awesome.
$200,000 to win the tournament, by the way. Let's think about that for a moment. That's crazy.
It is.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's the biggest prize purse in professional skateboarding history. And each year it's the most paid out. So, you know, it's unbelievable, dude. On top of the competition being super gnarly and the best dudes in the world, you got to think about trying to take home $200,000. So there's a lot to think about.
Give us some of the other names of the skateboarders that are going to be competing. I know P-Rod is in it. Who else?
Oh, yeah. Paul Rodriguez, Chris Cole, Shane O'Neill, Najee Houston, Sean Malto, Chaz Ortiz.
All the biggies.
The list is unbelievable.
What about the announcers? Do you know who that's going to be yet?
I actually don't know, man. They kind of switch it up every year, so I'm interested to see who's going to be announcing this year. Yeah, I have no idea, actually.
Ryan, this is Ryan Sheckler on the phone, a pro skateboarder, of course. We're talking about the Street League skateboarding coming to Fox Sports 1. How impressed have you been lately with kids coming up, doing new things, Ryan?
Oh, man, it's unbelievable. I'm so blessed to be in the position I am where I can actually get to see all these kids skating and you know, kind of have my finger on the pulse of what's going on. And, you know, it's unbelievable, man. The amateur skateboarders, even the professional skateboarders, everybody is just on a whole new level. And, you know, I've been skating with my little brother Kane a lot, and he's 14, and he has been just on a mission, dude. So...
You ever look at those 14-year-olds and go, come on, this is not fair.
Yeah, dude, absolutely, man. But it's all love, you know. It's not like, oh, man, that kid's killing it. It's just like, wow, man, I get so excited when I see people having fun skateboarding. And, you know, especially kids when they're actually learning tricks and just that permanent smiles on their face. So
that's one of the other things I wanted to mention about the skateboarding world is that it is not as cutthroat as almost any other sport. I mean, you are literally cheering for your friends. Of course, you want to win, but if somebody does something great, you're all happy about it.
Yeah, you know, I think we just understand the dedication and what it takes to actually land some of these gnarly tricks. So, yeah, when you do see your buddy land a trick, especially even in contests, I'm the first one that's cheering. You know, I get so excited for skateboarding and skateboarders. So, yeah, I truly love it.
Ryan, I have to ask, and this may fall completely flat if you haven't seen it, but did you see the Tony Hawk hoverboard video this week?
I saw a couple Instagram photos of it, and I couldn't figure out if it was real or not or what's going on. So if there's a video, I need to check it out.
You have to see the video. It's really, really funny. It's a funnier die video, and it's not real. But they made it like the skateboard that you could fly on from Back to the Future 2 is a reality. And they have Tony Hawk out there, and they have Moby, and they have some other celebrities that are jumping up on it. And I mean, the thing
when you think hoverboard, you think Moby,
you think Moby, right? But you got to see the video, Ryan, because the thing is, it's shot so well and it looks so real. I mean, you see these people jumping up on this hoverboard that's like 4 feet off the ground, and they're skating away on it, and they're all being interviewed completely straight, talking about how they never thought they'd see it in their lifetime, and it's the greatest thing ever, and it's so easy and so fun, and it makes you pine for that technology. Like, why haven't in all these years, why haven't they figured out how to make a hoverboard work?
I have no idea, man, and I'm definitely going to watch that video after we're off the phone. That's pretty funny, man.
It's hilarious. All right, so you're leaving to Australia, Dave tells me. Our producer, Dave, talked to you off air. You're heading to Australia. What's going on down there?
Yeah, so I leave tomorrow for Australia, and basically we're just going to go out there, and I've been doing these Sheckler sessions on YouTube, working with Red Bull, and we're just going to go out there and film a couple episodes of the Sheckler sessions. We're going to go surf with Julian Wilson. And go ride dirt bikes with Robbie Madison, and yeah, man, just kind of kick it through Australia and skate a bunch, obviously, and just have some fun for about 8 days.
Your life is pretty good.
Your life is a vacation, well, Ryan.
I can't complain. My life is a huge blessing. I thank God every day, and so it's just amazing.
Well, this is exciting. Street League skateboarding. All of the events will be on Fox Sports 1. This is the announcement. You may not have heard about this before because it just got done, but it's a 3-year deal. And it seems exciting. We're happy for you.
Yeah, man, it's going to be really cool. Fox Sports 1 seems like a great home for skateboarding, so it'll be good to have skateboarding as a standalone event and, you know, get the good backing from Fox Sports 1.
Absolutely. Get more information at RyanSheckler.com or StreetLeague.com, and you can follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanSheckler. Always great to catch up with you, man. Have a great time down under. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, right on, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, man. 106.7 KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 7:56.
We're going to talk to the director of the new Swedish House Mafia movie coming up right after the top of the hour here on KROQ, plus Dr. Drew next hour. Mike Catherwood stops by later on. In the meantime, though, we're filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat today. We were talking to Jimmy Kimmel ahead of the Oscars and mentioned that he was getting ready to have another baby with his wife, Molly.
Right.
And he's already got his kids are what, 20? Maybe?
I think so, yeah.
From his first marriage? So he's going to have like a 20-year age difference with his kids. And we thought, wow, that's a lot,
that's
right?
Bold.
Yep.
Kelsey Grammer back in the news. He and his wife, Katie, are expecting their second child together. Apparently, she was pregnant at the Vanity Fair Oscar party, hid her baby bump under a dress, but she is going to be having another baby soon. In case you're curious, Kelsey Grammer, who's been married a couple of times, has a 30-year-old named Spencer, a 22-year-old named Greer, a 12-year-old named Mason,
wow,
9-year-old no. named Jude, and a 19-month-old named Faith. Now he's getting ready to have another baby at age 59.
One day, you guys mark my words, put a mark on the tape here, Mugs, because we're going to need this. One day they're they're going to come up with a way to keep that from happening. That's my prediction.
So he is, I mean, give him credit for being fertile for a long time. He is having his sixth baby in the last 31 years, Kelsey Grammer. So apparently he no comprende condom, I guess, is what's happening.
Well, he
here.
Marries young women who want kids. Who
want
kids.
But to have babies,
that's what
I
happens.
Guess.
Yeah.
So you don't marry him.
Right? Who's with me? Michael Jackson has a 31-year-old son. Who knew?
That seems unlikely.
This is somebody who I believe has not come forward before. Brandon Howard is his name. He's the son of the singer Mickey Howard, who apparently Michael Jackson's dad represented.
All right.
And Mickey and Michael Jackson met in 1982, and Brandon was born right after that. He grew up in Cleveland. Now he lives in Miami. He's a singer named B. Howard, and he's doing some kind. He says it's ironclad DNA evidence. There's no way anybody can deny this. And he's going to make the announcement today, he says. But the bottom line is he found some kind of old orthodontia device worn by Michael Jackson. Now, A,
okay, that's,
ew,
that's
right?
That's really suspect.
And B, ew. But yeah. He claims that he can get Michael Jackson's DNA. His DNA will also match. And so he's the son. And if he, of course, once that's announced, will probably file a lawsuit and go after the money and blah, blah, blah.
Now, I have several questions about this story. Is there any money to go after for Michael Jackson's estate is question number one.
I don't know. I've never understood that. One day he's $1 billion in the hole. The next day he's $1 billion to the good.
Right.
I don't know what's going on with his finances.
And the other question I have kind of echoes what Michael Jackson's attorneys are saying, which is you're far past the statute of limitations or whatever the legal term would be for coming forward with information like this. Can you show up 30 years later and say, I'm your son and be entitled to anything? Or do you have to present somewhere in a shorter time frame than that?
I can't imagine, because if you're not underage, you know, get a job. I don't know.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the guy is 31, he doesn't need support.
Right. Right.
Well,
exactly.
That's bizarre. But anyway, he hasn't come forward before, so this is another new one.
Okay. He is a singer, I guess, and maybe hopes that this will somehow help his career, too. If he can get the word out there that he's Michael Jackson's kid, maybe people will think, oh, maybe he's got some of that talent, too. Diogo Morgado. I didn't know the name, but he's apparently America's newest heartthrob. He is the actor who plays Jesus Christ in the hit film Son of God in theaters right now. He was also, of course, in the Mark Burnett History Channel miniseries called The Bible. And apparently, have you guys seen photos of him? Lisa, have you seen him? He's apparently very dreamy.
He's a good-looking guy. I have
apparently
seen
very, yes. very dreamy.
Yes.
He has just been signed to a new CW network show called The Messengers. I'm just wondering, by the way, can you lust after the actor who's playing Jesus in the movie, or does that kind of stand in the way of finding him sexy?
No, I think it's fine.
Yeah. Lisa's good with it.
I'm good with it.
No, I mean, it's a movie. It is a movie. It's not Jesus.
Right, but you're looking at him.
Yeah, but it's a movie.
Okay. All right. Well, in case you're curious, in case you're on the Morgado, tip here, you love this guy, he's going to be coming to the CW. Again, the show is called The Messengers. A bunch of people are killed from an energy pulse from a meteorite that crashed to Earth, but then they come back to life with the realization that they have the power to stop the upcoming end of the world. That's the plot line for The Messengers. Kevin, I assume you'll see it because it's on the CW. So you let us know how that is.
I will. Jared Leto is talking about how his Oscar has already been damaged. He said within hours, he told Canada's Entertainment Tonight, within hours of receiving it, he was letting some people, quote, I was letting people that I work with take a picture with the Oscar, and I was carrying it down the stairs, and boom, I hit it against the stairs and the railing and put a nick in it.
Oh, man.
So he already broke it.
He can't be trusted with nice things.
Well done, Jared Leto.
This is why you can't have nice things, I think. Today's celebrity birthdays, former Laker great Shaquille O'Neal turns 42 years old today. What is Shaq doing now, by the way?
I don't know.
Is he just doing endorsements now? Is he a police officer anywhere on any reality shows? What's Shaq up to?
Tell us, Dave, on the air. He's on TNT?
Yeah, he's on a TNT pregame show with Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, and all that.
Oh, so he's announcing basketball.
So he's working. Okay. Yeah. 42 years old today. Rapper Bubba Sparks turns 37. Tyler, the Creator, rapper-producer, 23 years old today. Actor Tom Arnold is 55. D.L. Hughley is 50. Connie Britton from Nashville is 47 years old today. David Gilmour from Pink Floyd is 68. And the great actor-director Rob Reiner, who brought us Spinal Tap and For a Few Good Men and so many other great movies, he turns 67 today, and that's the show. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us in 30 minutes for his weekly visit here on the Kevin Bean Show. Don't forget, at 9 o'clock this morning, we want to send you to Coachella 2014. Both weekends are sold out. You can win a pair of three-day passes at 9 o'clock every morning here on the Kevin Bean Show, and then again at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Speaking of Coachella, Kevin, you were there at Coachella when Swedish House Mafia made their triumphant headlining event that night, remember?
Yep.
And I remember a lot of people thought, I knew this band was great, but they may be one of the greatest live dance acts I've ever seen in my life. And then it wasn't too long after that where they said, we're throwing it, leaving it all behind. Yeah, we quit.
You know how we're doing really well? Not anymore.
Oh, man.
You know how we're among the most popular live draws in the world? You know how we just put a tour on sale and sold a million tickets in a day? I think we're going to leave all that behind. Well, all of this is documented in a fascinating new movie that is called Leave the World Behind, all about the end of Swedish House Mafia. We are very excited about the film and very excited to talk to the director of the movie, Christian Larson, here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Mr. Larson.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, we thought we might be having you on to sell some tickets to your screening that you have coming up at the Cinerama Dome.
Yeah.
But it looks like that's sold out in 5 minutes, so you don't need our help. So when can the rest of us see Leave the World Behind?
Well, I think that's it's locking down to do more theaters than that one since it's sold out so quickly. And then obviously there will be a digital release quite shortly after. So, yeah, it's very
exciting.
Gotcha.
Tell us how you ended up being the guy to make this movie. Were you already in Swedish House Mafia's camp before this film idea came to your mind, or what?
No, it wasn't. You know what? It was actually quite like a little almost famous moment for me in my life. I found myself in Ibiza where I ended up at some kind of after party. I was young and I just started to make films, and this was 2006. And I met the guys at an after party, and they were just nuts. So there was nothing else to do than to pick up a camera and start filming them.
Now, and they were fine with that, of course. But we've all seen the movie here, and it really does seem like they're fine with you filming them at some pretty bad moments.
Yeah, and I think that's really cool with the guys. And I think that was something, you know, that's always been something with this band that they've always it's always been like a camera there as long as the band has existed, sort of, you know. So it's always been a big part of everything that they do, and they've always felt really, you know, comfortable with having the camera around. And I think that's, you know, it's also really cool that they have been so honest in this film and shown everyone, you know, what went down behind the scenes. And you know, it's not all rock star glam world, you know. It's the backsides of that too.
Well, they even say at one point in the movie, they say, you know, the 2 hours that we're on stage is, and we've heard this from so many musical acts over the years, it's the best part of my life. Nothing's more awesome or more fun than when we're performing for our fans. It's great. But then the music ends, and then you've got 22 hours of being on planes and being in buses and doing interviews and getting your picture taken and being in hotel rooms and being away from your family. And that's a grind for anyone who's in that line of work, right?
Yeah, for sure, that is a grind. But I mean, you know, it's all part of the package that, you know, I guess every musician or celebrity has, you know. But I think this film is about, you know, the big moments and the big concerts, and it's also about the backside of that, and it's also about, you know, friendships that you know, it's always hard to keep things together during, you know, those huge upsides and also the huge downs.
Right.
Now, was it frustrating for you, as I assume at some point you became friendly with the guys in Swedish House Mafia, and you're certainly a fan, was it frustrating for you that they just wouldn't sit down and hire that doctor from the Metallica movie and just talk it out, hug it out, just get on the same page and work through your issues and continue to work together rather than just say, oh, that's awkward and uncomfortable, let's walk away?
Yeah, you know, I thought about that too a couple of times, and I, you know,
I did ask the question to for them to sit down together, but they chose to not do that. And I think, you know, there's something quite beautiful in that too, to, you know, to respect the band and everything that was that, you know, and to respect that so much that it was, they would rather, you know, walk away from it in order to have, you know, a great memory from the band being great, you know. So I think it's also something very cool that they did.
But you're assuming that things would have gone downhill. I mean, they were on top of the world, and
well,
not.
You should stand on top, shouldn't you?
Yeah, you should, I guess. But it seemed like it was at a perfect time when EDM was just getting monstrous, and they were right out there in the front. I mean, it did seem like they had a lot more life in them, and it's frustrating that they didn't continue.
Well, you know, here's the real deal is that there are still artists, they're still making awesome music, and they're still out there. They just don't a part of the Swedish House Mafia Awards. They wanted to leave that at their highest legacy, and now they're, you know, they're great successfully on each of their own, you know.
Right.
So they're still there. They're still out there, you know, and waiting for the next big project, I guess.
This is the voice of director Christian Larson here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He has made this film called Leave the World Behind, a fascinating documentary about the band or DJ conglomerate Swedish House Mafia. Let me play a clip from the movie. This gives you an idea of kind of the mood of it and some of the weighty issues that are covered in the film.
You know what? We already had the best time with Swedish House Mafia, so why not just leave it there? Because we know that we're not going to commit in the end of the day.
We don't want to have some sort of group that's half-assing it. I feel like nobody's pushing anything further. We don't want to mess up our friendship because we're angry at each other for not working enough. And then, actually, I dropped what I've been thinking for a bit. How about we quit Swedish House Mafia?
Ruh-roh!
Yeah.
Hey, Christian, before we let you go, great job on the movie, first of all. We really, really did enjoy it. We'll definitely pass along to our listeners when it's available for everybody to see. But the Swedish House Mafia fans are the hottest chicks I've ever seen in my life. Did you only shoot models for this movie, or are all of their fans that attractive?
Well, you know what? I can't help it. You know, it's the crowd that they these guys kind of, you know, bring to them. So I guess it's, you know, it tells something about the band. But, yeah, they're all beautiful, and, you know, the band exists much thanks to them.
Now, a lot of people know that Swedish House Mafia is no more, and they said, we want to not ruin our friendship. Are they, do you know now, are they friends? Do they talk, or did it ruin it?
No, they do. They're still friends, but I think they all needed a breather from each other after that tour.
Right.
Gotcha. Hey, excellent work on the documentary. Seriously, Christian, we really enjoyed it. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet.
Our pleasure. Leave the world behind. Now, Kevin, I know that baseball is not your sport.
Right.
But many of us are very excited to be following our teams already in spring training, and especially for Dodgers fans. There's a lot of hope, a lot of anticipation.
Wait, I'm sorry, Dodgers are in spring training?
Yes.
And where is that?
It's in Florida. The season's only 3 weeks away or something like that. Baseball starts for reals, Kevin.
Well, Yasiel Puig is in our studio.
Hey, what's up, baby? What's
up,
baby?
Yasiel Puig. Aren't you supposed to be a...
Oh, baby, you know, I like to play baseball all over the place. You know, I still got a lot of friends here in Los Angeles. You know,
right,
I like to play all over the place.
Spring training, I think they take it pretty seriously.
Nah, you know, sometimes you play baseball in summer, sometimes you play winter, sometimes you play spring or fall. It don't matter to me. I play baseball every single day.
Well, it's interesting you should bring that up, Yasiel, because I was going to mention that you're in the news a little bit because
right.
you showed up at spring training this year up 26 pounds since the last time we saw you in the playoffs last year.
It's true. Let me tell you a little bit of story about me because I come from Cuba. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
What's up, baby? You looking beautiful.
Thank you.
You smell like cinnamon and ginger.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you.
You come from Cuba.
I remember, you know, it's a lot of time I grew up on a farm. You know how you say in this country, como te dice, farm.
Farm.
You know,
where they, we say farm.
You have the animal.
The word is farm. Yeah.
Farm.
Yes.
Okay. So I grew up on the farm. You know, I like to play baseball. You're a little boy. I was like, my grandma and my mama and my papa, they come out and say, Yasiel Puig, go take care of the pigs. You know, and
they
always
sing your name as well.
Hey, everybody, when they see me, I put a smile on your face.
Whether I
play baseball, whether I play hopscotch, it don't matter. You look at me, you say, hey, Yasiel Puig.
Yeah, but what the Dodgers are saying is, hey, he's 26 pounds overweight.
I used to eat the food food that the pig eat, the slop, because we don't have no money to pay for food.
You used to eat the pig slop.
I used to eat the little piggy come up, and I had give name to all the pig. I say, hey, what's up, little piggy? What's up, Jonathan? What's up, Bob? And they come and go, little pig, nom, 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 nom. And I have to get down on my poor little knees, because I just a little boy. I get down on my knees, and I eat the pig. Because in Cuba, we don't have no money.
Right.
And we
right.
do not have a lot of things to. I used to use for baseball bat, I used to use my sister's leg. Because
oh,
you know,
wow,
it's true.
No.
She was starving, like I was starving,
right.
And the resistance for Fidel Castro, they used to come to us and they say, we need your help for the resistance. And we say, we don't have no money, no weapon. And so they use my sister to go first because she a little bit older than me. She go to try to fight the battle.
Right.
And the guerrilla resistance, they come, they chop her leg off. And,
oh,
and I was very sad. So, but
it
she kept her leg because she's very
leg.
Resourceful. I mean, how you say in this country, resourceful?
You say resourceful.
So she take her leg back like a log on her boom box.
Right.
And she said, Yasiel Puig, I know you're very hungry. You're good, my little brother. Why don't you go ahead and nibble on my leg? And I say, oh, I can't do that because you, my sister, I love you so much. So I do take it to the park and I use a baseball bat.
Okay.
So
okay.
My point is, when I move to Los Angeles, because I love to play baseball for Los Angeles, daughter,
right.
I come to Los Angeles from Cuba, and there's so many restaurants.
Right. But you don't have
many restaurants.
Right, but they're not going away.
Cheesecake Factory.
Right.
It's delicious.
Uh-huh.
Many cheesecake.
Right.
Right.
But not pizza.
Right.
But 26 pounds in like 4 months, you see, is a hell of a lot of weight.
Just more on me to love.
You got to be really trying to gain that much weight.
Can you play it? Can you play it this way?
I can play it anyway. I gained 500 pounds. I still hit home
runs.
I gained 500 pounds.
I don't think you'd be a Dodger if you gained 500 pounds.
You're probably right, but yeah. It don't matter to me because I'm going to lose the weight. We're going to Australia.
You are going to Australia. How do you feel about the Dodgers kicking off their MLB season in Australia March 27th?
I was very excited to play in Australia because, like I see you say at the beginning of the time I talked to Kevin B, I say, you see, we like to play baseball in Los Angeles. Like,
right.
You see, we like to play baseball in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we play baseball in Australia because, you know, I'd be my father. Let me tell you a story.
Okay, a short one.
My father, he used to roll,
cigar.
The tobacco in Cuba,
right.
For Fidel Castro.
Right.
Personal cigar roller for Fidel Castro.
Okay.
And Yasiel Puig, a little boy. And I used to go to my father in the field. And he said, Yasiel Puig, venga aquí. I have a story to tell you. Once there was a horse. And this horse would travel all over Cuba. And it was a beautiful horse. And as he was telling me the story, a soldier came in of Fidel Castro and took my father away and sold him into an underground sex trade.
What are you talking? Your father?
Well, this is a terrible story, Yasiel.
My point is.
What is your point?
I learned to play didgeridoo on that day. I knew it was how I would commit to my father to always carry on his legacy as the only didgeridoo player in Cuba.
What does that have to do with you being fat?
So you're excited to go to Australia now because you know how to play the didgeridoo?
It's pretty good.
That's not bad.
Vegemite is salty. In Australia, they put a Vegemite on the bread. They put a Vegemite on the avocado. They
right.
put a Vegemite on everything.
Right.
It tastes salty,
maybe
tangy,
use that,
spunky.
Maybe use that as a little bit of time to not eat. Lose a little weight.
You guys want to go to Denny's? It's Denny's Day.
Yes, it is.
For me, it's
I'm with
Denny's.
You. What? It's Denny's Day for you, too?
I meet you at Seattle. We go to Denny's. I need
I'm
the
in.
Mousse over my hammy.
Okay. Good luck. Every Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll catch up with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky from The Love Line, 5 nights a week here on KROQ and his HLN show, weeknights at 6. A special surprise for you, Dr. Drew, as your Love Line pal, Mike Catherwood, is in studio with us right now.
Oh, boy.
Don't oh boy me.
Wow.
All right, before we get into this,
cool
before
oh
we get into this, we just talked to the director of the Swedish House Mafia movie.
Yeah.
And it talks about how they had a lot of problems with each other and they never talked it out.
Yeah.
And
they ended up breaking up because of it.
They ended up breaking up because of it and now they are no more.
Well, Drew and I are not going to break up. There's no doubt about it. But the problem
is. But you have issues.
We totally have issues right now.
Okay.
There's a lot going on. First off, Drew's trying to replace me with every single person that comes in the studio. Like, he finds a different man love. Every other week, it's hurtful to me.
All right, Drew, are you trying to replace Mike?
I'm not trying to replace. I might run off with somebody. I'm not trying to bring somebody else into the home.
Okay.
Okay.
You understand?
Fair
it,
enough.
It's difficult. And by the way, he sabotages himself. He's always the guy bringing these people into the home, into the studio.
Because I trust you as a partner that I can introduce you to my beautiful, handsome, and talented friends.
I can't handle it.
All right.
All right. All right. Have we worked that out? Are we cool on that?
I guess I can deal with that.
So, Drew, you're not looking for a new partner. You just want a little action on the side, it sounds
Thank
like.
Thank you, Ben. You're so insightful.
You just want to eat out.
Whoa.
Right?
No, I'm talking about restaurants. What?
I'm feeling unsafe. I'm feeling ganged up on.
Listen, Drew, would I ever gang up on you or do anything in a truly insulting way? Never, because I protect you. I stick up for you. Whereas Dr. Drew, he's denigrating. He hurts me.
Well, how does
on
he
the
hurt
air,
you?
I'll say, I'll make these, you know, amazing jokes, the jokes that you guys would make fun of me on the air for. And instead of you guys saying, well, that's a terrible joke, put that one in the file, Dr. Drew does this.
Dr. Drew, do you make that noise?
I go, blah, blah.
Yeah. We were talking about the problem in Ukraine. Okay,
right.
The area that
I bet that was good radio.
That was good love line fodder.
The area that is you really been kind of scrutinized is Crimea.
Right.
Okay. And Dr. Drew's truck.
And you said Crimea River.
Yep.
Yep. I knew it. I knew it.
I said, so wait a second. They're really trying to set up port on Crimea River? No love, you know. And then he to top it all off. The other night, Asa Akira comes in. Beautiful young lady.
This is bad. Don't bring up. Don't air this publicly.
Oh, come on.
He can air part of it publicly.
Well, yeah.
But he can air the last half of it publicly. Right?
And she's very giving.
Yes.
As a performer.
Right.
She's very beautiful. And
she's a porn star, for folks who don't recognize that.
Yes.
Name.
Right.
And she's a porn star's porn star. And she, on the air, was I felt like she was a little bit inhibited. So I said, Asa, you know, I think everything would go a lot better here if you were nude. And she's like, okay, and starts to take off her clothes. And Dr. Drew, like lightning bolt, just dives in. He's like, oh, no, 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 don't do that.
Dr. Drew?
I have no explanation.
Dr. Drew, I thought we boys.
I'm ashamed.
Why would you? How come? What's the?
And I did something else. I have to come completely clean. On television, Mike came up with something stunning. And I wouldn't tolerate it.
What?
And we did talk it out last night on the radio. And in fact, I brought in the object of his affection. And I think we got a new, we knew something better. We brought Sam Shocker in last night, Mike.
Yeah, it's true. What Dr. Drew's talking about is Dr. Drew essentially brings me on his HLN show, Dr. Drew on Call, numerous times a week to make me the firing squad.
Right.
And say things that he may want to say or other people in the audience.
Of course.
And then all these people on the panel yell at me and call me a vulgar, disgusting person.
Every show needs that.
Yeah.
And then Twitter mobilizes against him, like yeah. entire Twitter.
Every show needs that guy. Yeah.
And I'm okay taking that to a certain point. But the other night I said something that I thought was very funny.
Right.
And Dr. Drew is laughing. And live on television, puts paper in front of his face so that no one can tell that he's laughing and won't support me. And then brings this broad on Loveline to like hash it out with me. Her dad wants to beat me up. Her dad is like on
the.
I'm not kidding.
What did you say?
All right, we were doing that. Do you guys see that video clip of the reporter in New Jersey who was live reporting, and the snowblower or the snowplow saw that he was reporting live? And blew yes. past him and came around and yeah. just doused
just
him in
yeah.
snow, live on television. I mean, it was insane, a wave of snow. And I was talking about this, and I said, it's such a great clip because you could tell that snow plow driver did that on purpose.
Right.
And it's funny because I had a very similar dream the other night talking to Sam Shocker, who was also live on the air with me, beautiful woman. I said, I had a very similar dream, Sam, where I doused you in the same way with a very similar substance.
Yes. Oh,
wow.
Yes, he did.
And
yeah.
everyone else on the panel looked like I said.
This is on HLN?
Yeah. You would have said, like, oh, and by the way, I'm a Nazi. I mean, they were just stunned. And Dr. Drew, I see them all in little boxes like Hollywood Squares.
Right.
So I'm looking for their response. And these ladies are like, oh, my God, this man's an animal. And Drew puts his papers in front of his face. And he couldn't even
Drew,
at least support
what's
me with
put
a chuckle.
The papers in front of your face?
I didn't know what to do.
You were embarrassed because you found it funny.
The camera's off.
Yeah.
It was a moment to remember.
But you know that person is who you're getting when you
yes.
invite Mike onto that
yes.
show.
When I knew we were back on the road to recovery. I knew this relationship was going to make it.
All right.
And then we worked it out last night with Sam and talked about her dad coming to kill him. and
wait, does her dad still want to kill Mike?
Her dad is 6'6", Vietnam vet.
Yes. Yeah.
He's coming down.
Yeah, give him his address.
So, and then today, you guys are taking us all the way to the end zone. I do appreciate this. We're going to be so much better. And I don't spend enough time with Mike.
You don't.
I need to spend more time with him. You guys are right about that.
It's just too much work and things build up.
Yeah.
Do you guys, I've always wanted to know this, because you guys are so both obsessed with your physical appearances. Are you jealous of one another's physique?
Sometimes.
I think we support each other, Swole Patrol.
Swole Patrol. Does it go like this? You look good. No, you look good.
Yeah. Well, kind of, no, more like it's way more girly. It's Lisa May. You ever
what
have
are you
like
putting in your hair?
Do you have that female friend that you guys are like trying on outfits to do something, and then you're like, "You that looks amazing on you," and then she goes, "No, stop it, that's not true."
Oh, yes.
Look at, and then she points out her own flaws, yes. And you say, "No, no, no, that's a truth." I go, "Drew, seriously, man, you like that diet's working, man. You're starting to look really shredded." And he's like, "No, no, I got a long way to go. I got a long way to go."
What do you do for this?
And then I go, "Ah, man, you know." Having to change my whole like routine around and to become more athletic and like get my endurance up, I really feel like I've lost a lot of muscle. And Drew's like, "No, you look great. Everything's going fine." Yeah. You know, in fact, I was looking for some diet tips myself. What can I do?
What's that, Drew?
How's the grappling going?
Yes, yeah. Explain to me now this MCT oil that you take. How does that pass the mitochondrial bilayer? Because I was a little bit. Does that enter the brain bypassing the kidney, or is that something that it could just go straight into the bloodstream? And then Drew's asking that stuff. I was like, I don't know, but I look.
Shouldn't Drew have that answer?
Yeah, but he's asking me all this. Like,
I know,
high-tech
but you're
stuff,
not a doctor.
And I always go like, I don't know. Makes me look sweet.
Mike, no. Now he is a great source of nutritional information,
right?
Particularly for supplements and working out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what have we learned here? We've learned that that words hurt, and that it's good to talk it out. It's good to approach the problem and get past it and move on and be healthier. And we've also learned that if a woman wants to take off her clothes in the Loveline studio, Dr. Drew, that's to be allowed.
I don't think we learned anything.
Drew, if nothing else, you let the girl disrobe.
I think
what we've learned here is that Dr. Drew's a way better husband than I am.
Oh, well, that we knew that when we started.
Because he actually, I think, considers his wife's feelings when we have guests on Loveline, female guests, attractive female guests.
Right.
I go, "Look, honey, that's my job. I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with you. But she needed to get nude."
Your wife also knows no one else would have you for permanently.
Probably true.
Permanently.
Probably true.
No, Drew, that's a lot.
I'd take him.
You'd take him? All right. Now we're getting somewhere. All right. I'm glad that love has survived. This is awesome. So you guys are going to be fine then, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're good.
Love Line again tonight on K-Rock at 10 o'clock. And don't miss
you guys
Dr. Drew.
Sacred relationship.
We are trying to bring you two back together. We saw a rift and we didn't like it.
Right, we can guarantee better. Everything will be okay tonight. Mr. Skin, our guest on Love Line.
Yeah.
Mr. Skin.
Big deal. You've never met him.
All right. You're going to enjoy it. And
you're going to have a lot of fun, Doctor.
You're going to enjoy the list as well.
Thanks for the time, man.
All right, guys. See ya.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Now that Mike Catherwood has made up with his Loveline partner, Dr. Yeah. Drew, let's see what he can do for the showbiz beat, filling in for Ralph Garman this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph will be back tomorrow, by the way.
First, we got to take care of a little business here on the showbiz beat. I'd like to give away a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of Jason Bateman's directorial debut. I'm talking about the movie Bad Words.
Yeah!
This will be at March 12th at the Arclight Theater here in Hollywood, California. Bad Words in theaters Friday, March 14th. If you'd like a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening, call us up and be one of the first five callers to say a bad word to Chip.
I like it.
Yeah. So just call up, cuss to Chip, and you get yourself a pair of passes to the screening of Bad Words. It's 1-800-520-1067.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
There we go. You guys watched the Oscars, I'm assuming.
Yes.
That's part
sure.
of your job. From what I hear, it was a nice show.
I thought Ellen was great.
It was long as hell, but yeah. I thought Ellen was okay.
And, yeah. Yeah, she's very likable, yeah. And it seemed like they did kind of pepper it with some fun stuff, like
yes.
that big picture that mm-hmm. shut down Twitter and all
right.
that kind of stuff. Well, they cut out something that I think would have been awesome.
They cut out what?
Well, Andrew Garfield, who is probably most famous for being Spider-Man.
Right.
He's the new Spider-Man. And Bat-Kid. You remember Bat-Kid? He was the kid who, quote-unquote, saved San Francisco during that
yes.
Make-A-Wish event.
He dressed up and everybody played along with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
I mean, really a great kid.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man and this Bat-Kid were going to be in costume. And they rehearsed and did a bit together. And unfortunately, it got cut from the show because it was too long.
Oh, that's too bad.
That would have been pretty sweet.
That would have been a moment.
Yeah. And one of the most crazy... things about this story is that I found out
this
that
spring?
Andrew Garfield's 30.
Right.
What
weird come fountain of youth is that kid drinking from?
Wow.
Yeah.
And trim it up.
Because he looks 18 years
old.
Figure out this.
I mean, like, and seriously, what?
And wipe out.
Thank you,
so that was, I heard that they cut it and they gave the kid a trip to Disneyland instead, but that's not the same as being on the Oscars. It was just for time. That's the only reason.
Yeah, we have a quote here. Natalie Scott says, I don't know if they ran out of time or if there was something about the segment they didn't like. That was Natalie Scott is the mother of Bat Kid. It got pulled so quickly that we didn't have a lot of insight into what was going on.
Well, the show was 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't have like any firsthand knowledge, but I got to imagine that a live event of that magnitude with a lot of working parts, you just kind of got to go with the flow. I'm sure there was a lot of stuff that went wrong that we don't even know about and a lot of
Here's what you do. Yeah. Here's what you do is you say, sorry, Bette Midler, you're not going to be able to sing tonight because we're bringing Bat Kid out.
Right, yeah. Agreed.
And you cut her song instead.
Who was the lady that everybody was tweeting about with the odd face, the 80-something-year-old actress? That
Kim Novak.
Okay, what is Kim Novak do? I'm not sure if I'm aware of her as a
She was a very, very popular actress in the 50s and 60s who's been essentially retired since then. She's been away from show business.
The award for the best supporting actress.
How does she get plastic surgery on her voice?
Like, she was Batman. Christian Bale's Batman.
Where's the Joker? Rachel, tell me now. We have a responsibility to find the Joker.
It was an unfortunate appearance for her.
She was the best.
Oh, someone who has no problems with their voice. Linkin Park.
Yeah.
I think we actually have some clips here we could play. Their new single, Guilty All the Same, it features Rakim. Do we have a clip, actually?
We don't have the Rakim part of it, but we do have a clip of this song.
Let's hear it.
This is it.
You're guilty all the same. Too sick to be ashamed. You want to point your finger, but there's no one else to blame. You're guilty all the same. Too sick to be ashamed. You want to point your finger, but there's no one else to blame. There's no one else to blame. Guilty all the same.
Here's what I have to say about that.
I like that.
It's totally, I think, a departure for Linkin Park, because I would have thought that was like an Avenged Sevenfold song if you didn't hear the, you know, like the dueling guitars.
Chester, yeah.
Yeah, totally. And so they're really definitely leaning more towards rock, which is ironic considering it features Rakim, one of the most legendary rappers on the track. But I believe we have a clip of Mike Shinoda talking about the track.
The reason we went with this song first is because we feel like it's a good look into the guts of the record, the DNA of this record that we're putting out this summer. I'll be honest, like, to step back a bit, I remember a few months ago I was making some demos and writing this stuff, and it sounded like something that you could play on the radio or whatever, and it was like, I listen to a lot of indie music, a lot of what would you call it, like indie pop, I don't know, like I love Purity Ring, I love Haim, I love Empire Weekend and Churches and, you know, so many more. But I was listening to the demos I was making and I thought, like, well, but I don't want to make that kind of music. Like, I love listening to them make that music. What is it that is not out there right now that I'm all about, like that I'm fired up about, that is a void? And it ended up being this new material where, you know, it's louder, it's more visceral than probably anything we've done recently. And we're all really proud of it.
More information and clips of tracks up at krock.com. That's KROQ.com. Here's the thing about Linkin Park, and I'm going to throw this out there, and you guys can talk about this with members of the band next time you have them on the show.
Okay.
I think that Mr. Shinoda got jealous of Chester getting a lot of attention from female fans.
Okay.
You know, being kind of like the hottie, quote-unquote, in the band for a while. Because if you notice, who did they tour with? A huge monster tour last year. Incubus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right. Brandon Boyd comes out. All those screaming girls, for Chester, they shut him down. Who are they going on tour this year with? 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah, Jared Leto.
I think that secretly, Shinoda's lining up the hottest guys in music.
Just to try and take some attention away from Chester?
Destroy the Thunder.
We'll ask him next time we see him if he's trying to destroy the Thunder.
Yeah, but little does he know that no matter how many hot guys he brings on tour.
Right.
Chester, incredible pelvic power, Lisa May.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't know that, really.
Oh, like kettlebell thrusts. Seriously. He just damn it. bodies all over Arizona, just torn in half from Chester's old single days. Yeah, just girls. They find him in the. They think it's drug lords in Mexico and Juarez. Ugh, it's Chester. Just too many pumps. Celebrity birthdays today: David Gilmour of Pink Floyd. Woo! Tom Arnold, everybody.
Yeah. Yes.
55 years young. D.L. Hughley is 50. That's a there. Okay. 5 years difference between Tom Arnold and D.L. Hughley.
Wow.
Right there personifies Black Don't Crack.
Yeah. D.L. Hughley looks about 15 years younger.
Shaquille O'Neal's 42. Connie Britton's a beautiful 47. And Bubba Sparks, one of my favorite rappers. Bubba Sparks, 37 years old. Oh, Tyler Creator, 23. I love you, Tyler. I know you're listening probably down the street here in Compton. Probably not.
We're Compton adjacent, so I'm sure he is.
That's true. That is Ralph's showbiz beat.
Yeah. Good. A week ending, but good. Try it again. A little more confidence.
And that was the Ralph Garman Showbiz Report.
Our listeners have been doing some research on the crazy Taylor Swift caller to the Grammys, by the way.
Yes.
And if this is the same one that this listener sent this article about, and I want to thank you for that, Liz, for sending this in. A Maine man was arrested at the Rhode Island beach house of singer-songwriter Taylor Swift and handed a security guard a note with his cell phone number on it that told her to call him. He is a 55-year-old Maine resident named Joseph Bernacchi. That's got to be our guy, right? There can't be two 55-year-olds in Maine who are crazy obsessed with Taylor Swift, can there?
I would bet against there being two 55-year-olds in the country that are obsessed with Taylor Swift.
So I don't know if we want to give him a call after all if this is the guy who's going and stalking her. You know what I mean? I don't know. We're going to have to discuss that in the meeting.
Call,
I
do, call, I, call, call, I do, call, 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 call. Hey, Mike, have you heard Bean's version of that?
Please play it for me.
Just got that going for you.
You know what, though? Say what you want. That he committed.
I agree.
You know,
he went all out for that one.
There's nothing more BS than when any of us on the show, it's certainly when I was here, when there'd be like a bit where you're clearly doing something embarrassing.
You're just sandbagging.
You phone it in.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. Hey, speaking of Mike Catherwood filling in one more time for Ralph Garman of the Showbiz Beat today, Ralph will be back tomorrow. I wanted to say you and Dr. Drew were great last week on Legit, our friend Jim Jeffries' show. We're so happy that that show's back. You guys were terrific on it.
Wait, I got to interrupt. I'm sorry, Bean, but I think the real star of the show was Dr. Drew's wife's boobs.
Yeah.
And she looked great.
No.
She looked very good.
That was show-stopping.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Legit is on FXX Wednesday nights. It's our favorite, one of our favorite shows on TV. And Jim Live is something you got to see to believe. And he's going to be coming to Club Nokia on March 29th. Tickets are available now if you want to see the great Jim Jeffries live in concert at AXS.com, AXS.com. And Mike, you're going to be on TV this afternoon starting at 5 o'clock on something called Nuvo, which I don't think I have, but actually is a real network that goes across the country, right?
Yeah, it's a Latino interest station.
Are you all sure, right? It is a thing?
Yes, I'm positive it is a thing.
I searched. I can't find it.
Well, I don't believe DirecTV.
Okay.
Which you and so I can't watch my own show.
No, you can't watch it either. Yes. Okay.
So nice. Nuvo TV this afternoon for folks who maybe don't have DirecTV and you have Nuvo, look for a show called The Collective. Mike is going to be the co-host of this program. And this is a show that's kind of, it's an Access Hollywood type show about celebrities or no?
And more so, it's actually like the underground of pop culture. It is kind of like an Access Hollywood and Entertainment Tonight, but it focuses more on what is popular and relevant in street culture as opposed to what we all, you know, you always see reported about, you know, like the Kardashian type stuff.
Yeah.
Art.
Okay.
Art, culture, restaurants, nightlife, music. It really, and it really dives deep into stuff that like is interesting to me.
I have a clip from the show if you want to hear it.
Please.
Hey, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go Dodgers!
That's good. I like it.
Rudy Cisneros comes along with me.
That is The Collective. It airs this afternoon at 5 on Nuvo TV, and it's going to be an every Thursday night show, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, a lot of cool people on the show. DJ Ski, Yessi Ortiz from Power 106 here. I mean, really a lot of very cool and interesting people involved, and I'm happy to be a part of it. But
you're the only one on who doesn't speak Spanish, probably.
Correct.
I don't speak Spanish as well as everyone else. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the biggest whitewash on the show. Yeah. Without question.
No, there's no question.
Without question. I heard that clip of Rudy there.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the story? I'm sorry to deviate a little bit from showbiz. Did you see the story about the Armenian gangster and the cholo, the real Cholo Hispanic gangster from here in Los Angeles that are in Syria killing people for the Assad? This is not a joke.
Yes, and shouting out back to the gangs here.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can't forget about our homeboys, dog, back in Los Angeles. I want to say what's up to you know, Serenos. This is how it's done in Syria. And they're just rifling off rounds.
Wow. It's unbelievable.
This may be the greatest thing ever. Man. I mean, I don't know about the political ramifications.
If you could take the killing out of it.
I understand. But if people are going to be killing anyway.
Right.
Wouldn't you rather they fly to Syria than be here in Glendale or East L.A.? And kill each other over senseless stuff. If people in Syria, if people in Mogadishu are going to be slaughtering each other left and right.
I don't know how to rule on that one.
My point is,
doesn't seem like there's any winning combination here.
Never, murder is never like a great thing.
Okay.
But let's take the Ukraine, for instance.
Right.
We're sitting back here in the United States wondering, what do we do? How do we balance this without having, you know.
Without putting boots on the ground.
Going to war to Russia.
Yeah. So. Let's take guys here in the U.S. who are already committed to killing. They're like, look, we've devoted our lives to doing G stuff.
And just point them in the right direction.
And say, like, go to a place where they encourage G stuff. They're all welcoming over here. Just line them up.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next Secretary of State for the United States of America, Michael Dwight Catherwood.
I think that would work.
Thank you so much.
Who would represent the United States better than Mike? I mean, other than everyone.
I mean,
but that's acceptable.
Think about all the great things I've done just in my travels alone. I taught so many kids in Paris how to cook crack.
That's true.
That happened. you Dodger fans here in Los Angeles, there's obviously tons of them. I'm one of them. I'm a diehard Dodger fan. And you guys remember the bench clearing brawl about a year ago with the Diamondbacks. And then, you know, that kind of rivalry, that kind of bad blood was fueled even further when the Dodgers won the division title last year and then went swimming in the Diamondbacks pool.
Right, which they hated.
Yes.
They have a pool in, like, center field or something.
And I have to say, even as a Dodger fan, I thought that was not a classy move, and they probably shouldn't have done that. I like seeing the Dodgers have fun. I like to see them win. But I was like, that might be a little bush league, and they should have done it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that a professional radio broadcaster should go on the air and encourage the Arizona Diamondbacks to bean Yasiel Puig in spring training.
With what? With baseballs?
Yes.
What?
That is exactly what Doug Franz, he's one half of the morning drive time show on KTAR in Arizona. It's the Diamondbacks flagship station.
It's the main news talk station in town.
And I quote, waiting until the regular season just risks lengthy suspensions. Plunking Puig in Australia, which is where the Dodgers are playing against the Diamondbacks for spring training. Plunking Puig in Australia will make it more difficult to replace those suspended because you're not traveling with your whole minor league system behind you. So then he goes on to say, after he encourages the team to plug Puig, I'm not advocating violence.
No.
Yes, you are. You're advocating a guy who throws a hard object 95 miles an hour to throw that object at another human being.
Yeah, that seems bad.
Yeah, that's very ugly and very unsportsmanlike.
So since I have the airwaves right now.
Nope.
I'm encouraging Franz to let me know where he lives.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I'll come over there and in a Dodger jersey and show him who's boss. It'll be Armbar Nation. Ronda Rousey will be approving. I'll put it on YouTube, and she'll be standing there going, "Yeah, this is pretty good." I like the way you locked that one up.
I think the best solution to violence is always more violence,
more violence!
Mike. So
I think we agree on that.
Let me tell you something. I learned that in Omelies, May.
I'm sure you did while you're fighting the Charlie.
I didn't choose that.
Not the Charlie, for God's sake.
Oh, it sure was.
Whatever.
Ah, the whole country is just one person in my eyes. It's all the enemy. When you're in the rice paddy, water buffalo walking across the water. I can hear their footsteps are coming. Next thing you know, you hear helicopters, and I'm walkie-talkie, and I'm Sergeant. We're down here. Don't release the napalm.
And then from the helicopter, does a voice go, "Finish the showbiz beat."
Okay, you're getting off topic.
You guys, of course, remember Katy Perry and Miley Cyrus. Kissing.
Yep.
Yeah.
At her Bangers tour here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
February 22nd, I believe it was. Katie was being interviewed by an Australian talk show called Sunrise, and she went into detail about that kiss. I just walked up to her to give her, like, a friendly girly kiss, you know, as girls do.
Sir?
Yes, I'm happy they do.
Oh, then, yeah.
Then she, like, tried to move her head and go deeper, and I pulled away. God knows where that tongue has been.
Yeah, true.
Weren't you married to Russell Brand?
Well, true
go
as well.
Go F yourself.
True as
I
well.
I mean, I'm not like, I don't know Miley Cyrus. I'm not trying to stick up for you. But you can't be married to Russell Brand and then go around calling other people skeevy.
Good point.
I sort of have a boner.
Somewhere, someplace, there's like a lady who dated OJ and lived. She can't go in the press and be like, you know, Rihanna, you shouldn't have gone back to Chris Brown because he just is a dangerous guy.
Yeah.
Like, know your role, Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Lisa May, you're a woman.
Yes, I
and
am.
And a fine
thanks
one
for
at
noticing.
That. I get a little upset at my wife every once in a while because we'll go on trips, and she packs like Imelda Marcos for an overnight trip to Santa Barbara.
I do the same thing.
Nice reference, by the way.
That was a good pull.
Excellent reference from the 80s.
I mean, she packs these crazy amounts of stuff, and she's like, just in case I need it. Yes. Okay. Well, I got to back off when, you know, I guess I didn't really realize the extent to which some women will overpack. What do you think Kate Middleton packs for a 3-week trip?
Oh, I can't imagine.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
And she, by the way,
she's the one that married the prince.
The man who will be king, yes. Okay. So she's expected to show up at every event in a different outfit. So that's a lot of clothes to pack.
How many days?
21 days.
I'd say 21 containers.
That seems reasonable.
Right.
Yes. Well, she actually packed 96 different outfits, taking close to 500 pounds in luggage. Now, I was just like piecing it together. That probably includes the weight of the luggage. I'm sure. Kate Middleton has like ridiculous like Hermes, you know, on.
Right.
But it took four people. Just for their sole job is just to travel with that luggage.
You wouldn't even remember what you
yeah,
have
no kidding.
With you. That's insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is insane.
Well done. Hey, Mike, we're way out of time.
Oh, okay. Celebrity birthdays. David Gilmour from Pink Floyd, boom. D.L. Hughley, boom, 50 years old. Tom Arnold, 55. Tyler, the Creator, 23.
Boom.
Shaquille O'Neal, 42.
Boom.
Boom.
Boom. Thank
Boom.
You, Mike.
Yeah. Boom.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's Friday morning. Ralph's back. He's got the movie beat. We are going to talk to Duavid, a guy we haven't talked to in a year,
yeah!
2 years?
At least. Probably more than that.
This is the guy who Psycho Mike presided over their wedding between Duavid and a doll.
Mm-hmm.
That happened.
He married a mannequin.
I married a mannequin.
Apparently, somebody has stolen the mannequin, and he's back in the market.
Oh.
So we need to talk to him tomorrow.
I'll marry
about
him
that.
Again.
We also have Jason Ellis in the studio talking about his book, The Awesome Guide to Life. And from the LA Galaxy, Landon Donovan will be here as well.
That's nice.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks, Mike.